Brother Joe.
Christian greetings again in the name of Jesus tonight. Trusting again that we come to worship in spirit and in truth. I didn't necessarily think of the scripture there in 1 Samuel, but I believe it's a very good... It was very good to look at and appreciate the thoughts that Brother Jason shared there. God knows the hearts of every individual. We don't always know them. There's two things that I'd like for us to consider tonight in sensing God's direction and God's leading that I believe are foremost and very important in sensing God's direction in choosing a leader. Number one is my own heart's condition. I must first of all have a genuine, vital, living relationship with God on a daily basis. All must be clear before Him before God can work in and through me as an individual. And the second is that the individual that we may think of must already have come under the scrutiny of what we heard last evening in the qualifications. And I think those two aspects need to be very, very important in sensing God's direction in choosing a leader for a congregation. And that's so important. And so tonight, you as a congregation have come to the place of making these plans, and the council has been favorable to move ahead in relation to the work of ordination. And so you as a member, you as an individual, are asked to carefully and prayerfully do your share in this very important work. Because the responsibility or the ordination of a brother is going to give him a responsibility for the spiritual welfare of souls. And that responsibility continues throughout life. We're not thinking of a Sunday school teacher or a superintendent or whatever other aspect in the life of the congregation, but it's for life, as long as there is faithfulness there in the brother's life. And so since the ordained brother carries a tremendous responsibility in the administration of the congregation, he therefore is going to affect the future welfare of this congregation. And you need to evaluate that. Where will this congregation be in 10 years from now if I choose this brother or that brother? What will it be for my posterity? What will it be for those who follow after? What effect will be there? Will the spiritual influence continue to carry on? And that's one of the reasons why that we exercise much care and discretion in finding a qualified brother for the ministry. And so the work does call for, and appreciate the emphasis last evening already, much prayer, meditation, looking at self, and then to look at the biblical qualifications for a brother for the work of the ministry. And also, the Bible says that we're to look out amongst us. We're to look out amongst you as a brotherhood. The scripture says in Acts 6, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you." So that's a responsibility. There are definite advantages. I see at least four advantages for calling a brother amongst you as a congregation from the local Christian brotherhood rather than to look out further and to bring someone in. One is that he's already established in a vocation, which makes it unnecessary for him to be salaried. Secondly, he knows the people and he knows the community. If you remember last evening, Brother Edmund shared in the qualifications, not only is he to be well known amongst you, but to also have a good report of those that are without in the community. thirdly, you know him. You ought to know him. Don't choose someone that you don't know. Sometimes people say in ordination, I've heard it many times, well, I don't really know these people yet. Well, then you probably shouldn't be choosing. Because the Bible says you ought to know them. And fourthly, it gives stability to his ministry. Because there's less likelihood that he'll simply move off as soon as he's ordained somewhere else. And I recognize that happens in church work or outreach work and things like that. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about where that has happened already in years gone by, where a brother was ordained and then soon moved off on his own because he didn't agree with or whatever the case may have been. There was a case some years ago that a brother was not willing to accept his calling. And after the ordination, he was ordained. He walked out the church doors and he never came back into that congregation. He went out and started a tavern just to prove that he was not going to accept that call. Well, I don't believe that's the case here this evening or the work of the church this weekend. But those things are important. We're endeavoring to sense the leading of God in this very important work. And it is a sacred privilege that you have as a brotherhood. It's a sacred responsibility that you have to take part, to determine who this brother should be. And so this evening I would encourage you, I would urge you to participate in the spiritual work in a meaningful and wise way, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and under the direction of the Word of God, and under the direction of the working of His people in the Christian Brotherhood. And much is going to depend upon the spiritual condition of this congregation as to what extent the Holy Spirit can lead and bless you with a good, faithful, and able brother for the ministry as God works through you as a congregation. And again, we repeat, as we've often heard, this is not the work of man, but it is God's work. But God works through man. But it's not man that is doing it on his own. We must follow. That's the reason why we believe it's so important to follow biblical guidelines and biblical qualifications in this work. There's a reason that God spelled out those things for us to understand as the people of God. And so if God does not reveal a brother's name to you, and maybe I'm contradicting what Brother Paul said last evening, don't give a name. And again, we'll enlarge on that later on. But it is a blessing when God can work through a brotherhood for His glory. You ought to sense, in giving a name, you ought to sense the leading of the Spirit of God in your heart and life. Because you do clearly understand the biblical qualifications. You do understand the working of God. You understand His Word. And you understand the serious nature of the work because of your own commitment to God. And so God works through people to fill the role or responsibility of a leader in the congregation. You know, during a time of ordination, not to be that which molds us, that humbles us, and melts us together as a brotherhood, as we desire to have God's work accomplished. And one important thing is to only desire the will of God for our hearts and lives. And so sometimes we need to lay down our own aims, our own goals, our own thoughts, our own biases, so that God can work for His glory. Just as Jesus did when He came to the garden and He prayed, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." And so Jesus laid Himself upon the altar and there was willing to give up Himself for the cause of God. And I believe that's a commitment, that's a resignation that we each one need to come to the will of God. As we give ourselves and sense God's leading through our lives, may we always want God's will to be accomplished. David said in Psalm 40, verse 8, "I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart." Is that your delight? Is that my delight? Do we delight to do the will of God? and His law is within our hearts, we want to draw near to God daily. And so again, I emphasize that prayer, that relationship, that communion with God on a daily basis is very, very important in order for God to work through us as an individual. We need stability in our walk of life. So God is expecting from those who vote a stable heart, a stable life, a life that is resigned to His will, a life that is open to His leading, not only at time of ordination, but every day of their life. How do you walk daily in your vocation? Do you sense the leading of God as you make those decisions? It relates even to your daily work and the things that you do in life. There you ought to as well sense. And so when it comes to the work of the church and to the time of ordination as we're looking this evening, you continue that sense of God working in through your heart and life. It doesn't just all of a sudden God pour out from the sky, as it were, upon our lives at this time. But it's a continual walk. It's a continual relationship with Him. So stand fast in one spirit. It is important that all the membership is united, even as in issues heretofore. And so then we can come to this time that the Holy Spirit can work through us to reveal God's will for this congregation. It takes that full and total commitment to be able to discern the will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that He present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that He may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you and I are totally honest with God in our daily walk of life, in every area of our lives, then God is able to work in and through us. But if there's a hidden corner, a hidden room, a hidden part of my life that is not exposed, that is hidden there from the eyes of others, then God can't work through that life. Now the person may give a name, but it'll be off the wall. It won't be in God's will. When he is not fully committed and dedicated to the cause of Christ, but has some hidden issues in his life. I remember one of the first ordinations, this goes back about 40 years, 35 years, 40 years, that I ever experienced. I wasn't at that time, I was in the ministry, but I wasn't really a part of the administration at that point. But I seen something there. When the people came through to vote, there were issues there, and I knew there was problems there. But when the people came through to vote, there was a large majority that voted for one man. And I really questioned it, because the man they voted for was questionable. But you know, he was ordained. They went on through with the ordination. But this was in my own mind. But now here we are many years later. The man is not functioning as an ordained man. He always had a difficulty. He always seemed things just didn't go very well. But I sensed a spirit at work that wasn't really God working in their lives. But it was what I wanted. It was what pleased me. There was a certain segment of the congregation that was they weren't concerned about the spiritual welfare, putting it that way. That's why it's important that our lives are clear, that our lives are honest, totally honest with God and totally honest with each other. There is nothing hidden there, so that God can work through the congregation, through the individuals for His glory. We ought to be as the servant of Abraham was when he went looking for a bride for Isaac, Abraham's servant. He said this, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and of his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And so tonight, as you as an individual are totally committed and submitted to God's will and to His way in every area of life, then you're simply in the way where God can lead you and work through you as an individual. That's God's work. That's how God leads in people's lives. When we begin to acknowledge God in all of our ways, then the Lord will direct our step. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Do we believe that? I trust we do. Our walk of life, the life that we live, every step of the way is ordered by God. Each new day, I again commit my heart and life to Him. Each new day, I again ask God to lead me in this day where You want me to be and what You want me to say and what You want me to do. God is leading. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Tonight, we're not seeking after signs from God to seek God's leading, but rather simply to be sensitive to His Word, to the biblical qualifications. We are sensitive to the Spirit's work daily. And so then as we seek God's direction through the time of ordination, then the doors are open to us and we walk through them with confidence. But we need to daily ask God again to search our hearts so that He can lead and work in and through us. God does not work through an individual's life when he walks and lives selfishly. When he lives for himself, but God works through the individual's life that is selfless and his heart is open to him. And so it takes time in prayer and fasting to seek God's direction. We must always ask according to His will. And so then we need to move ahead in faith and with confidence, confident that God knows what lays ahead for the church. And we want those leaders who will stand for principle and for what is right. So tonight, am I ready to give my vote? Am I in a position where God can use me for this important work? Maybe we should turn to the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter. I have to think of Isaiah as he comes before God and recognizes his own unworthiness, his own undoneness before God. In Isaiah, the 6th chapter, we see this, where he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." This evening, brethren and sisters, how do you feel when you begin to see God's holiness? When you begin to see God's workings from day to day? Do you feel, as I did, Isaiah did, "Woe is me, for I am undone"? When Isaiah seen the holiness of God, he seen the greatness of God, he became dumb in himself. He was speechless. And his response was that he was a man of unclean lips. And he couldn't speak with the seraphims who were saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." But when Isaiah seen God, he felt he must die. He was undone. He was wretched. He was poor. He was unclean. He was wretched before God. You see this in these verses here. In verse 5, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." That undoneness, we need to see in ourselves before a holy God. Matthew 5:8 tells us, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We don't boast of our excellence, trusting in our own might, comforting our own selves and our own luxury. But may we stand in awe before Him who is sovereign, because we are human and have too often had unclean lips. We stand in the presence of people of unclean lips. We see ourselves as God sees us. The humble man, the contrite man, Jeremiah puts it that way, God will not despise. God is able to work through hearts and lives that are in tune with Him. So I trust that we have come to verse 7 there. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Then when he heard the voice of God calling, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Tonight, you're in that position. When you come before God and see His holiness, when God has cleansed your heart and your lips, then you can speak and share a name. That's sensing. That's how God works, the leading of the Spirit. Your sin is purged. Your heart is cleansed. You're made a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's why David cried out, Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. God desires, God loves to purge hearts and lives. God loves that. And so may we respond tonight with Isaiah of old. Lord, I'm not worthy, but I'm willing. I'm willing to say, I'm willing to do. I'm ready to go, I'm ready to speak, to give my vote for the Lord and the good of the congregation. And whoever the Lord calls, I'm ready to give my wholehearted support and cooperation to the minister in the church. But tonight, it's your sacred trust to do this. It's your privilege to share. And I think as you do that, again, along with the biblical qualifications, I just have a few questions jotted down that we need to evaluate as we do that. As I think of the biblical qualifications, and as I search my own heart and life before God, and then I begin to evaluate, asking my own heart some searching questions in relation to the voting. First of all, this brother that I sense that God would have me to share, how much time has this brother been willing to have for the church? How much sacrifice has this brother given for the cause of the Christian brotherhood? Is he one that is very active in the work of the church? Or is he a shirker heretofore? Is he usually there when there's some activity of the church? Is he on time? Does he show up when things are done? Or is he too occupied with his own life from day to day? Does he have a serving mentality? We heard about that last evening and appreciated that thought. Because in the work of the ministry, you must serve. The Bible talks about serving. And so as we think of that, we give that name. We sense God's leading through His Word. Never, never give your vote on good friendships or popularity. Or maybe that this individual would be easy on me. Or any personal preference that I may have. But it must be because we sense the Spirit of God working in my life. First of all. Then as I evaluate that, some more questions. Where has this brother stood on issues of the past? Where has he stood? How has he reacted when things didn't go as he had planned or thought best? How has that individual responded to past church problems or issues that you confronted? Can he face issues honestly and unbiased? Is he able to make those righteous judgments, even if it involves his own flesh and blood? Has that brother been a good follower to this point? The old saying is, any good leader has first of all learned how to be a good follower as he seeks and lives for others. Does he manifest a life of sacrificial living and giving to others? Is he content to live, first of all, for the sake of the church, the spiritual brotherhood? Does he have a spiritual message in his heart in his life? Does he now, present tense, promote the nonconformity and non-resistance principles of the Church of Jesus Christ? And we heard some of that last evening as well. Sometimes there are individuals who may think, well, let's give them an office so that they kind of improve. No, that's not the biblical way. The biblical way, he has already manifested that he is very supportive and promotes the nonconformity issues that we face in our day, the non-resistant issues of the day. What has been his general attitude towards the present church leaders and its regulations? That will tell you a little bit how he may lead himself. Is he a humble man, or is he a self-willed individual? Does he love the brotherhood, or does he only think of himself? And again, that good report that must be in his heart and life, from within and from without, is so important. Lastly, again, the challenging question, are you, as an individual, are you Spirit-led? Do you make decisions off the top of your head? Or do you make decisions because it aligns with the Word of God and biblical principles? And so as we come to the time of voting this evening, may you give yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord, because it is His work. And may you be fully assured that you have complied with all the things, with all the conditions, and you're willing to give that nomination as from the Lord. And so we urge you as a brotherhood to consider each other in love and forbearance, in full commitment to the Lord, as we proceed with this important work, looking to God to reveal the one that He has chosen. And as we do that, God will bless this congregation. May the Lord bless and keep you as we enter this work.